gospel, the blessings of our Lord, the fellowship with His dear people, the music, the leadership God's given us. I don't know many pastors in this United States who really look forward to meeting with their deacons and elders, but this pastor does, Doug. I love these men. They are God's jewels. I'm so thankful for them. What a discussion we had tonight back there. Like Dale Simpson said, maybe God will give me 30 more years around here. You hope not, but maybe I will. But what a delight. How these scriptures mean more to you when you experience them. How blessed it is when brethren dwell together in unity. The way it ought to be, shouldn't it? The way it will be if God's there. It will be. All right, open your Bibles tonight to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Now I want you to listen to me this evening. And I want you to listen carefully. My subject is, what is it to confess Christ? What is it to confess Christ? And here's a most solemn charge spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 10, 32. Matthew 10, 32. Now look at it. And look at it carefully. Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever therefore, there's no age there. There's no national distinction. There's no male or female. That's that wide, wide word, whosoever. Therefore, shall confess me. There can be no doubt as to whom and what we're to confess. He said, it's me. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. And there's no doubt as to where we're to confess him. Whom, what, and where. Whosoever, and who's to confess him. Whosoever therefore shall confess me. Now what I'm going to talk about tonight is what it means to confess me. That's not the existence of God alone that we're confessing. James said the devil believes there's one God and trembles. It's not to confess religion. It's not to boast that I'm a Baptist or a Catholic or a Jew or a Protestant. It's not to confess the law and my admiration for it. Now listen to me. It's not to confess that I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Or even to confess that I'm a sinner. Most everybody knows that to some degree. Christ said, if whosoever therefore shall confess me. Brother Bill Sasser preached here last Wednesday night. He made a tremendous statement. He said the word God can mean to a person whatever he wants it to mean. He used the word God, and it can mean whatever Saddam Hussein wants it to mean. God's on his side. Well, his concept of God is on his side. Someone else can say God is on our side. Someone else can say God this, God that, and God the other. Everybody talks about God, and the word God can mean whatever you want it to mean. But when a person acknowledges, when he comes to know who Christ is, who Jesus Christ is, and why he came to this earth, and what he did on this earth, and where he is now, and who Christ is, When a person comes to acknowledge who Christ is and believes Christ and loves Christ and confesses Christ, he rules out all other ideas, thoughts, and concepts of any God except Jehovah. Isn't that right, Bob? That's it. The key is Christ. Without Christ, God can mean whatever you want it to mean. But in Christ, God can only mean one thing. Jehovah, God my Savior, a just God and a Savior. That's right, because no man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So without a knowledge of God, God can mean anything. But when you see Christ, when Philip said, show us the Father, show us God, he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, therefore saying that a man who has not seen me has not seen the Father. Isn't that right? Jehovah reveals himself in Christ. Our Lord uses in the book of John 7 great I Am's. And back yonder when Moses came to the burning bush, and God spoke to him from the bush that burned and was not consumed, and he told Moses he would go into Egypt and deliver Israel, and Moses said, well, when I go to them, they're going to ask me, who sent me? And what shall I say? And our God said, you tell them, I am that I am that sent thee. I am. Not I was or I will be. I am. The eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. I am. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he said, I am the bread of life, the bread from heaven. I am. He said, I am the light of the world and the only light. John said, I'm not that light. I'm sent to bear witness of that light. I am the light. He said again, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. He said, I am the good shepherd. The Father hath made me the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the shepherd of the sheep, and the shepherd of the everlasting covenant. And my sheep, my Father gave them me. My Father's greater than all, and my Father gave me these sheep. And I must bring them, and they shall be one shepherd and one fold. And I'm that shepherd. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha said to him, I believe my brother will rise again. He said, Martha, I'm the resurrection. There is no resurrection apart from me. You don't even have any idea about a resurrection apart from me. I am the life. I am the life. I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the true vine. So what he's saying here, whosoever therefore shall confess me, I am. I am. And he said, if you believe not that I am, you die in your sins. It doesn't matter what else you believe or whomever you believe, but if you don't believe that I am what I said, I am he, you die in your sins. I can't overemphasize what I'm saying here at this particular time. There can be no doubt as to whom we're confessed. To confess, verse 32, look at it again. Whosoever therefore shall confess me, before men, him will I confess. Now what's this saying? Him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. These verses hold out to us an unspeakable blessing. An unspeakable promise, indescribable. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I remember before my Father. This is what the thief wanted. This is what he asked. This is all he asked. Remember me. And this is what Christ is saying. I will remember him. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me. He said, I will. He said, I'll own him. He said, Father, in that great high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I will that those whom you've given me be with me where I am, that they may be one as we're one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be one as we are. I will remember him. I'll own him. I'll intercede for him. If any man sin, we have an advocate who ever liveth to make intercession. I will confess him. I will remember him. I will own him. I will claim him. I will intercede for him, and I'll never leave him if he'll confess me before me. Isn't that something? That's what makes what I'm trying to deal with tonight so vital. So important for all of us, whosoever. There's not a name there, just put yours there. There's not a nationality, there's not a denomination, there's just a whosoever. Therefore shall confess me before men. Him, that person, that individual. I am, will remember him, own him, love him, pray for him, stand for him, never leave him before my Father. Now here's an awful, awful thing in the next verse, though, this great judgment. But whosoever shall deny me before me, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What shall a man do in that day when the only mediator between God and men disowns him? I never knew you. I never knew you. When the only advocate, when the only redeemer, when the only one who has entrance into the presence of God won't take him with him, what's a man going to do? I never knew you, depart from me. So what an awesome thing we are faced with here. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess. So what does it mean to confess Christ? What is it to confess Christ? Well, it wouldn't be possible for me to cover all the areas in which a man confesses Christ, but I'll give you four. And I've thought about this carefully, and I speak to myself, and I speak of myself, and I speak to you and of you. First of all, to confess Christ, here are four very simple things. To confess Christ, first of all, is to confess him in my own heart. To confess him in my own heart. Now let's turn to Romans 10, the scripture that Brother Doug read a moment ago, Romans chapter 10. The first thing I've got to do by the Spirit of God's power and grace is have some understanding in my own heart. Like he read a while ago, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? Themselves. And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach except God gives them the message and sends them? So here in Romans 10, look at verse 1. Here's the preacher's desire. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. He's talking there about his people. Paul was a Jew, and he's talking about the Jews that they might be saved. I bear them record, all of them. They have a zeal of God. They know there's a God. They talk about God. Everybody talks about God. But it's not according to knowledge. They don't have any understanding, any real knowledge of God. They've never heard the gospel, the truth of God. They've never heard of Christ. Don't know Christ. In verse 3 says, being ignorant of God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's salvation in Christ, they're going about to establish their own righteousness. These Jews were keeping holy days and Sabbath days and tithing and keeping ceremonies and doing all these things to justify themselves before God, to make themselves acceptable to God. And they've not submitted themselves to the true way of salvation, which is Christ. to the true righteousness of God, which is Christ. For he says in verse 4, for Jesus Christ is the end, that is the goal. He's the objective. He's the consummation. He's the summary of the law to all them that believe. That's how we're saved, by believing on Christ. Believing Christ. God's holy. Man's a sinner. And how can this man be just with God? He can't by his own efforts. But if God sends down here another man, a man in our likeness, a man as our representative, a God-man, who can take upon himself the responsibility of representing us before God. And he can do for us what we can't do. He can keep the law. He can obey the law. He can please the Father. And he can bear our sins in judgment and justice and pay for our sins. And he can do that for all of his people because of who he is. The infinite God can provide an infinite sacrifice. Now that's what, and if we ignore him, then we have no righteousness. We can't produce one. We can't keep or obey the law. We can't please God, but Christ can. So if we believe on him, receive him, he becomes unto us God's righteousness. Isn't that right? And that's what he's saying here. So Christ, for me, is the finish, the summary, the goal, the object, the consummation of the law. The law's satisfied. In Christ I kept the law. In Christ I satisfied justice. Now verse 5. Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law. In other words, if you're going to try to be saved by the law, then here you are. He gives it to you. Do it. The man that doeth these things will live by it. In other words, if you want to be saved by doing good, then don't talk about it. Don't admire it. Don't brag on it. Don't approve of the law. Don't aspire to it. Do it. That's what Moses did. Do it. Be absolutely, infinitely, unchangeably perfect. And God received you. But that's beyond your hope. That's beyond your hope. All right, but the righteousness which is of faith, that is through Christ, speaketh on this wise. Don't say in your heart, now we got to go up to heaven and bring Christ down. He's already come. Or we've got to descend into the earth and bring Christ up. No, he's already risen. In other words, what faith says, it's done. The work is finished. Our Savior has come. Our Savior has kept the law. Our Savior has died. Our Savior has been buried. Our Savior has risen as our justifier. Our Savior has ascended to heaven. He that descended is the same that ascended. Here's what it says. The word of faith, the word of salvation, the word of life is nigh thee. It's even in your mouth. While ago you were singing about it. You sang the gospel. My faith looks up to thee, thy Lamb of Calvary. It's in your mouth. Right there in your mouth. It's in your heart. If you believe on Christ, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess. Confess. To whom? First of all, to yourself. And to God. In a private, personal way, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One day our Lord preached and a whole bunch of folks left, just walked off. And that left the 12 disciples standing there. And he turned to them and said, would you go away too? Can if you want to. Nobody's holding you here. And one of the disciples said, Lord, to whom shall we go? We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's confessing Christ. He said, I'm convinced in here. I know in here. I know in here. Do you? To confess Christ, first of all, is to confess him in here. To settle this issue in here. To come to some conclusions in here. I believe it. I know my dad believed it, but that's got nothing to do with me. I've got to believe it. I know my mom believes it. I know my pastor believes it. It's like Benjamin Franklin was going to hear George Whitfield one time, and somebody stopped him and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to hear a preacher named Whitfield." He said, "You don't believe what he preaches?" Franklin said, "No, I don't, but he does, and I want to hear him." That won't help us, though. It's good to hear a man that believes it. But what he's saying here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So here's my first point. Confessing Christ doesn't start with your getting up and coming down here. Not where it starts. Not here. Brother Mahan, I'm convinced, and I tell you what Brother Mahan speaks to you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this word is the word of God. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is immaculately, infinitely, unchangeably holy. I know that I'm a fallen son of Adam, a sinner by birth, by nature, by choice, by practice, in everything about me from the sole of my feet to the top of my head. There's no use for me to put forth any pretense or claims or superpiety or holier than thou. I am a sinner. And I have no hope and no help at all in ever approaching a holy God or ever standing in his presence unless somebody able and willing and powerful undertakes for me and does for me what I can't do for myself. And I'm persuaded that the one and only person who has done that is Jesus Christ alone. And he's God Almighty. He's the Son of God. He's the revelation of God. He's the very express image of God. He's the brightness of God's glory. And God was in Christ justifying the world and himself. And I believe that right here, come hell or high water. Do you? Now, don't get any of this, that, and the other about it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You're not going to doubt him and question him. You're going to believe it. I believe it. And that's where it starts right there. That's where it starts. To confess what I don't believe is hypocrisy. And to believe what I don't confess is not to believe it. All right? To confess what I don't believe is hypocrisy. God won't have it. Don't pop off about what you believe if you don't believe it. That's hypocrisy. But to believe what I'm not willing to confess is to show that I really don't believe it. If I did believe it, I'd stand for it. And I believe it. Your preacher may not be the best preacher in the world, but he's the most confident one in the world. That my message is the message. Somebody says, "You don't make room for anyone else." I make room for everybody who makes room for Christ. And if a man doesn't have room for Christ, I don't have room for him. That's what Paul said. If anybody preaches any other gospel, let him be damned. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He's our Savior and our only Savior and Redeemer. I believe that. All right, secondly, what is to confess Christ? Then it's to confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's where it starts. And then with the mouth. Well, how do I confess it with my mouth? I'm not a preacher. I'm not a theologian. I'm not an elder. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a public speaker. Then God has given you the way. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 8, I'll show you. Acts chapter 8. You believe this gospel? I do. I do. And I believe you do. I believe some of you do. Well, here was a man who was seeking the Lord. Here was a man to whom God sent a preacher, one of his choice preachers, Philip. And Philip took the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, and preached Christ to him. About how he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And as they were riding along here in the chariot, Acts chapter 8, verse 34, he talked about Isaiah 53 there. He was reading that. And the eunuch said to Philip, Acts 8:34. I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? It was a man. He understood that. It was a man in Isaiah 53. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and did what I did a minute ago, preached unto him Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, see, this man's heart was filled as he revealed Christ in the scriptures to him. This is my Redeemer. This is my Savior. This is my hope. I find my hope in Christ Jesus. He did all that God requires and all that God demands and all that I need. And so they came to water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, "See his water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Why does he want to be baptized? He wants to be baptized because he wants to confess this Christ. He wants to declare openly and outwardly what he believes inwardly. That's the reason he wants to be baptized. Because baptism, you see, shows the life of our Lord, the death of our Lord, the burial of our Lord, and the resurrection of our Lord. He died for our sins, he was buried, and rose again. And also baptism, as evidently Philip taught him, tells people, I am crucified with Christ, I am buried with Christ, and I am risen. Not the same old man that was put in the water and in the grave. I am risen a new man in Christ Jesus. My life, my love, I give to thee, thy Lamb of God who died for me. I'm Christ, I belong to him. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. That's what I'm saying. I'm dead, buried and risen with Christ. That's what this man wanted to do. He's seeking the Lord. God sent him the gospel. He believed it. And he asked for baptism that he might confess Christ. There was a lady called Lydia, a merchant woman, a business woman in Philippi who heard Paul preach. And he sat down and talked to her about Christ, about who Christ is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. And she said, I want to be baptized. There's a man called Cornelius. Peter came to him, told him about the gospel one time. He didn't hear it for 40 years like some of you heard one time. And he confessed Christ. There was a man, a Philippian jailer, that God brought down to realize his need, his sins. And he heard it one time. And he said, I want to confess that Christ. And he was baptized. And this is the Lord has given us this way and this opportunity to confess Christ. It says something. It's more than just going down an aisle. It's more than just shaking a preacher's hand. It's like the Lord's table. Now, everybody here who's a Christian, who's a believer, knows that his body was broken for us and his blood was shed for us. But there's something special, and this is the reason the Lord gave it to us. There's something special about putting down here the unleavened bread, which is a picture of his sinless life without leaven, and the wine, which is a picture of his spotless blood and sinless blood, and us actually breaking that bread. This is my body broken for you. Eat it. Receive it into yourself. And we do that. And we take that wine, and it said, this is my blood shed for you, and we take that wine and drink it. And he said, when you do that, you show my death and your confidence in it till I come. And I'm not saying that baptism is a prerequisite for salvation or even a necessity for salvation. But I'll tell you this, it's the way people in the New Testament confess Christ. That's just so. They do. They confess Christ. They like coming to the Lord's table. I announce it to you ahead of time. I tell you when we're going to have it. Some of you come, some of you don't. But I come. I wouldn't miss one. And I come because I want to say that before God, and I want to say again before this congregation, and I want to say from my own heart, and I want to say before my family, his body was broken for me. That's my only hope. And his blood was shed for me. And I don't want any question about it, any doubt about it, or anybody even suspecting anything about it. Christ is my Lord. Take every opportunity to confess it. And somebody said, well, you believe baptism is necessary? It is absolutely essential for anyone who doubts it. That's right. Isn't that right, Doug? The Pharisees would not be baptized of John. They just wouldn't do it. So any Pharisee to be saved had to be baptized, because that was his point of rebellion. God will meet everybody at their point of rebellion. He'll break you. He'll break you. You talk about breaking a wild ass's coat, he'll break you if you're going to be his. You're going to be a submissive child. You're not going to be, I'll do it my way. No, your way is no longer involved. It's his. Thy will be done. I'm telling the truth, though. So if you want to confess Christ, it starts right here. And it winds up right there. I'm saying to the whole world, he's my Lord. And then thirdly, Acts chapter 2. What is it to confess Christ? To confess Christ is to be identified. To be identified with those things that are of Christ. To be identified, positively identified with those things that are of Christ. Those things that are his here where you live. Why where you live? What am I talking about? I'm talking about his church. I'm talking about his church and his people and his word and his gospel. That's how I'm identified with Christ. Where in Ashland is a people who believe the word of God? They really believe it, I mean, and who preach the character of God, the condition of sin, the effectual work of Christ, the covenant of eternal grace, who Christ is, where the right here. Right here. I guarantee you can go anywhere in this area and somebody asks you, do you believe in election? You'll say yes. The next question they'll ask you, do you go to 13th Street Baptist Church? I guarantee you. Isn't that right, Terry? That's the next question they'll ask you. Because this place is identified with the sovereign grace of God. And if you're going to confess that you believe it, you'll confess it right here. You'll be identified with these people. That's so. That's so. There's not any possibility that a man can worship with and fellowship with and walk with people who hate the God of the Bible and at the same time confess him. Isn't that right? That's right. Look at here in verse 41 of Acts 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. What'd they do? They received his word. What'd they do? They were baptized. This is Pentecost. And there were that same day added unto them about 3,000 souls. And what'd they do then? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not in the Baptist doctrine, Protestant doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. Watch it. And fellowship with whom? The people who continue in the apostles' doctrine. And the breaking of bread, that's the Lord's table, and in prayer. When the people of God met, they were there. I didn't mean they never missed, but I'm saying they were identified. They were identified with them. Some of our people got upset with the former Attorney General Ramsey Clark, who made that speech on TV the other day. Sounded like he's on another side, didn't it? That don't ever sound like we're on another side. We're always with him. And fear, verse 43, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostle, and all that believed were together, and they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They took care of one another. They saw that everybody had something to eat and everybody had something to wear. They had all things common. They had a common Lord, common God, a common faith, a common doctrine, a common salvation. They walked together in a common faith. That's right. Every one of them. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? How can a man confess the Christ of the Bible? This is what I ask a dear lady recently who wrote to me from another city who said she believed this gospel of God's grace, but she went to a church where they didn't preach it. I simply asked her the question. I said, I'd be interested to know how you can do that. How can you support preaching that's contrary to the Word? How can you support a preacher that hates God's sovereign grace? How can you support a preacher that emphasizes man, who grieves the Holy Spirit? How can you abide in that particular situation? You can't confess Christ and do that. Confessing Christ is being identified with Him. And being identified with Him is being identified with the things here on this earth that are of Him. Here it is. Here they are. It's this gospel. It's this gospel. And then fourthly, what is it to confess Christ? Very simple, isn't it? To believe it in here. It's to follow Him in baptism. Is to identify with His people. Cast your lot with His people. If you're walking with Christ, I want to walk with you. I don't want to walk on the other side of the street. I want to walk with you. I may not like everything about you because you won't like everything about me, but you're just not liking one another. It's loving Him. And if you love Him, you got to love me. If I love Him, I got to love you because He's in you. Isn't that right? And then we have to put up each other's faults. And that ain't hard when you know how many you've got. And then fourthly, we confess Christ in our walk. In our walk. Turn to James chapter 2. Here it is. Here it is to confess Christ. It's in our daily walk. In James chapter 2, verse 14. James says, now, brother, my brethren, James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? He boasts of his faith in Christ. He boasts of his Christianity. He boasts of his doctrine and belief. And he doesn't have works. He doesn't have works. He doesn't have love and peace and joy and compassion and graciousness. And generosity doesn't have those things. Can that kind of faith save him? Can a faith that doesn't produce works, can that save? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of food, and you say to him or them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you won't give them those things that are needful, what does it profit? He said, claiming a faith without works, it's like saying to a naked man, be warm. Your words ain't going to warm him, and your words ain't going to save you. See what he said? I say, I believe in Jesus. But there's no grace and no faithfulness and no compassion and no righteousness and no honesty and no integrity and no truth. Can those words mean anything? No, they're empty words. Just like if a man's hungry and you say, well, be filled. That's not going to fill him, but I tell you what will, give him something to eat. That'll fill him. And that's what he's saying here. Even so, verse 17, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Lifeless. It's what you say. It's just words. Yea, a man may say, well, you have faith and I have works. Will you show me your faith without your works? I'll show you my faith by my works. And that's what we do. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm simply saying that we confess Christ by our conversation. You're around a bunch of people. If you have grace in your heart, your conversation will be seasoned with grace. And they'll recognize it. In your home, around your children and loved ones, and they watch you and listen to you. And you'll either show that you love Christ or you'll reveal you don't love Him. You'll reveal you don't love Him. Our works, our walk, our conversation, where we are, And that person, that individual may not be a believer, but he sees there's something different about you. You are different. You're different in your attitude. You're different in your conversation. You're different in your conduct. They see a difference. And by our lives, we adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. And we're confessing Christ. So what is it to confess Christ? Well, first of all, primarily, is to believe Him in you. Do you? Can you say tonight, I believe? That when that man asked for baptism, Philip said, well, if you believe, you may be baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe it. That's confessing Him. And then he went down in the waters of baptism. He said, I want to be baptized. I want to confess what I believe. And my friend, you don't have to know everything there is to know to confess Christ. You just have to know Him. I'm not asking that you be able to give a theological paper on how God saves sinners, but if you can just say, Christ died for my sins. He's my Savior, my Lord, my hope. I trust Him. Follow Him in baptism. Confess Him. And be identified with His people. Love the gospel. Love to hear it. Love to rejoice in it. Love to be taught the Word of God. Then in our conduct and in our conversation, and you will. If a man believes something, he'll walk in it. That's just so. If he believes something, it won't be an effort that he'll have to put forward. It'll just be spontaneously if he really believes it. Really believes it. Now, if you'd like to confess Christ, I can help you with three of the things. I've preached this gospel to you. Do you believe it? And I can baptize you. And I'll be happy to. I'll be happy to. I'll be happy to give you an opportunity to come in that water and confess Christ. And then the third thing that I can do, I can teach the Word to you as you come here and I lead you in worship. We'll worship the Lord together. I'll stand up here and some of you men stand up here too, and we'll worship the Lord. We can do that for one another. And then I believe if you believe this in your heart and you love His Word, out there you're on your own. But you're really not alone because He's with you. And He'll give you the strength and He'll give you the grace. You won't be alone. You won't fight the battle alone. He'll be with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always. Even to the end of the earth. Bob, that's clear as I can make it. That's clear as I can make it. That's all I can do. Now, do you believe it? It starts right here. I do. I do. And if I could be baptized for you, I would. But that won't help. I won't. You got, if you believe it, confess Him in baptism. Walk in the light God gives you, and He'll give you more light. And be identified with His people. Don't let anything in this world take you away from this assembly. Unless you can find another one like it close by, that's fine. Oh, that's very fine. That's more than fine. I'd be happy to strengthen other assemblies. We have so much gifts here and so much talent and ability. I'd share with another preacher half this congregation if I could to help him to worship the Lord. Wouldn't you? I'd be happy to do that. But be where the gospel's preached. That's confessing Christ. And I've never in my life been able to understand how anyone could listen to the Lord maligned from a pulpit and sit there without saying, wait a minute, you're talking about my Lord. And I object. That's confessing Christ. Don't say that. Adorn the gospel. All right, Michael, you have a song for us to close with.